Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
One of the people who will be attending the canonization ceremony of Popes John XXIII and John Paul II is Kishore Jayabalan. His life of faith was strongly connected with Blessed John Paul II. He was baptized by the Pope at the Easter Vigil in 1996, and then worked for the Holy See, both at the offices of the Permanent Observer to the United Nations in New York and at the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. Kishore currently works for the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty. He spoke with Charles Collins about his first meeting with the future saint.
The great thing about that Mass, Easter Vigil Mass, is of course the, you know, you proceed in to the church in darkness. And when the lights and the candles, everything is lit up in St. Peter's, you look around and you realize you're behind all of the bishops and cardinals who preceded in, and you're with the Pope proceeding into the St. Peter's Basilica, which, you know, for me personally was incredible, because John Paul II was somebody I grew up admiring. Growing up in the 1970s and the 1980s, you often are formed in your political, economic, social ideas by the leaders of the time. And John Paul II was certainly one of those for me. So to be able to be received into the church by somebody I already admired and looked up to as a hero was remarkable. But of course, he was more than an example and a personal hero of mine. He's also Peter, and he's also the leader of the Catholic Church. And to be received into the church by Peter over the tomb of Peter, you can't really have a better way to start your Catholic life. It's all downhill from there. I joke. One of the great things about it, too, is also you realize that, you know, there's a way human beings look at the world in terms of good and evil, in terms of saints and sinners. And you start to realize as you grow in your faith that, you know, that's a really superficial way of looking at it. All saints are sinners at some point in their lives. And with God's grace and the individual's cooperation, you can grow in holiness, you can grow in faith, and you can really start to live the life that God has in store for each and every one of us in the Catholic Church. So those are the impressions that you have starting out with somebody like John Paul II. What was remarkable about that particular Easter Vigil Mass is I remember I was the second of the nine to be baptized. And the others were all from East Asia, with the exception of a woman from Italy and a woman from France. But the rest were all from the eastern part of the world. And that was remarkable because that's been the one area that's been probably most resistant to evangelical missionary activities. And to see John Paul II's reaction, to see him weep after baptizing people from Vietnam and Korea, where the number of Christians since then has even exploded. You know, it's been even greater. It shows you that this was the beginning of this kind of new evangelization, this new springtime of the human spirit that John Paul II had talked about during many points in his pontificate. When he came into office as Pope, he also, you know, was preparing us for the Jubilee. Once the Jubilee came around, he said, the Jubilee continues. And this is really a remarkable aspect, looking back on his pontificate, that I probably didn't appreciate at the time, but I appreciate much more looking back.
After your baptism, after your return to Canada, and also you're from the United States, you soon thereafter began working for the Holy See, first at the mission in New York and later here in Rome for the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. Now, of course, you weren't working with the Pope personally in his office day per day, but did you have any kind of impression of the Pope's holiness while you were working for him?
Well, there were many occasions in which you came across speeches by the Pope, personal anecdotes about the Pope. Working for the mission to the UN in New York, I was there 2 years after the Pope had visited and gave a remarkable address to the General Assembly on the UN's 50th anniversary. And seeing some of the photos of the Pope coming to visit the mission, coming to visit the nuncio's residence, his relationship that he had with the staff, the lowly people, let's say, of the mission was remarkable, and everyone was touched by it. You see photos of his time at the UN in 1995, and these are, you know, very worldly diplomats who acted like little kids when the Pope came. They all wanted to get his picture. They all wanted to stand on their chairs and see him come into the hall, the General Assembly Hall. And it really was remarkable. My experience working at Justice and Peace, there's one that stands out in a conference that we had participated in with the Council for Interreligious Dialogue and some Muslim theologians coming from Iran. I remember John Paul II had a remarkable way of making his point about religious freedom, about not using God's name for violence, to a group of theologians who were they weren't defending those opposite points of view necessarily, but a way of delivering his point in a way that came across as very humanistic, as very much in keeping with human dignity, which of course Muslims also believe in. And I think his ability to let's say go beyond the boundaries of what may be considered traditional Catholic teaching and speak to people outside of the church was also quite remarkable.
Finally, when you left your service for the Holy See, you went to work for an NGO, the Acton Institute, which in its foundation was also greatly influenced by John Paul II. Can you tell us a little bit about that connection?
Yes. The Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty was started in 1990 by a Catholic priest and a Catholic layman to investigate further the relationship between, let's say, theology and market economics, broadly understood. And in 1991, John Paul II published the social encyclical Centesimus Annus on the 100th anniversary of Leo XIII's Rerum Novarum. And in that encyclical, John Paul II investigated why real socialism or Marxist communism failed. And he traced it to an anthropological error, a faulty view of the human person as a materialist, as an atheist. And John Paul II not only diagnosed the failures of real socialism, but he also looked at what are the promises and challenges facing the market economy, facing the free society going forward. And it was very prescient. He was able to look also at the anthropological problems of some forms of capitalism while also promoting a form of the market economy or business economy or free economy, as he called them, in its ability to help the poor, to unleash human creativity and innovation in a way that's in keeping with God's plan for us. So I think that encyclical, Centesimus Annus, was very instrumental in the way many of us who work at the Acton Institute view the relationship between Christianity and economics.
Vatican Viewpoint: insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.